Welcome to Let's Talk, the talk show that addresses the issues facing us today from a Christian perspective. Join Chim every Wednesday as we speak to change makers and add your voice as we unpack real answers to tough issues. And now here's your host, Chim Onyibilanma.
To this week's episode of your show. Thank you so much for joining us. This week, we want to look at the issue of a healthy church. And we want to revisit several of my conversations with church leaders, like I said in the introduction. You know, it's so difficult to generalize. And often I say this, that it's not good to generalize, because if you talk about the state of the church in Africa, you can't just talk of one general thing, because we're talking about so many different churches, so many different movements. And if something is happening in this church, in this location, even in the same city, it might not be the same thing happening elsewhere. So you can't even say this is the one state of the church in a city or in a country, not to talk of the whole continent. But yet, it's helpful sometimes to kind of ask the question, what is the state of the church in this continent? What is the state of the church in our countries? What is the state of the church in this city? You was reading the Revelations when Jesus would send a letter to the church in so-so city. It might be one church, it might be several church in that locality. And so let me start by revisiting this question I asked the leaders many times when I sit down with them to talk about the state of the church. What is the general state of the church in the continent?
Well, I see a vibrant church in the sense that, like the Anglican church, they've caught fire. People used to call them just Orthodox, but they're on fire for God. Even Caribbean and Seraphim,
which is a syncretic
churches,
which is more like what we call ZCC in South Africa.
And they've been inviting us to preach.
They're turning to the Lord.
Yeah, you do Holy Ghost baptism, you do deliverance, born again, inside their church. And the Baptists are very good in evangelism. Every church must open another church. And when they can stand on their own, you go and open another one, they too go and open another one. So we see there's a spread.
So God is actually doing something.
Yes.
It gets to a stage where
nearly in every street there's a church.
Across the continent.
Across the country. There are some places where you see six churches on a building, which is wrong anyway. Because First Bank will never open six branches on one building.
You're very right in that analogy.
But we, like that, we are moving on. The villages are moving on. So we can see that the spread of the gospel.
The gospel is going in
yes.
places never
and
used to
And then there are
to
TV stations where people are preaching. So that if they cannot hear the gospel somewhere else, in the office they will hear. At home, in their bedroom, they could also listen to the gospel. So that they can bypass other obstacles and hear the gospel. This is going on in Nigeria.
Jesus, when he told the first disciple, he said, go ye into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That is Matthew 28 verse 19. Now he was expecting, that was his expectation, for every person, every convert to be made a disciple, beyond believing, for you to be a disciple. What happens in many churches today is they make you a very strong and good member of that church, that denomination. So you are very loyal to that church, loyal to the leadership, but you are not all that loyal to the Lord Jesus. You know, a disciple. Now, the other side of it, where we may not sound interesting to leadership, is that when somebody is a disciple, his first loyalty is not to you as leadership.
Okay.
It is to the Lord Jesus.
Okay.
Do you understand me?
Yeah.
So, and that may be misunderstood to mean that this person seems to be, it may be seen sometimes by leadership, if they are not spiritual enough, it may be seen as a rebellion.
Yes.
But whereas that is discipleship. Mm. When it makes you that, look, you are my leader, but I think you are wrong over this matter.
Yes.
You know. But leadership, many times, don't want that. So, what happens in many churches now is that by the kind of the follow-up material they develop, it is more to make you a good member, a strong member.
And be loyal to them.
To be loyal to them, but not to the Lord. Mm. But such a person cannot stand for long. Mm.
And he can't serve God's purpose.
A cult basically is an association of people that are gathered around a single person's interpretation of scripture. That means that they do not follow the mainstream interpretation of particular scriptures. They place emphasis, and the emphasis they place on different aspects of scripture is based on one person in that church. It's whatever he says the scripture says. That's what colors everybody's the way they identify the gospel. So you've discovered that over the years in the Pentecostal circle, there is that foundation has been laid in most churches, most local churches, most churches that have started ministries. It revolves around one person. And it is his interpretation of the gospel. If his emphasis is holiness, everybody in that church toes that line, and that's the way they see the gospel.
Mm.
It's cultic.
Mm.
It doesn't mean that they have become a cult in the sense of the secular.
But already there's a foundation. People are not able to think
for themselves,
study the Bible,
that's right,
and draw conclusions.
That's
they are rather going to God through one man.
Person.
And so we have today a growing Christian reality that focuses so much more on the external. There is so much emphasis on the material to the detriment of the development of the inner life.
Now, another question that comes to heart is, why are we in this situation? Why do we find ourselves in the situations that have just been described?
You see, we have Islam in Africa, coordinated the whole of Africa. We don't have Christianity in West Africa.
You mean like our talking to each other?
Yes, ourselves. All the churches, the leaders in all the nations of West Africa, to even meet, coordinate, network, and also resist what Islam is trying to do.
But we've always been divided.
Yes, even inside we are divided. Everybody's building his own empire. And that's not it. That's not what God wants. Now look, in Khan, people misunderstood Khan.
Khan is a Christian association of Nigeria, which is the
umbrella body
of all Christians in Nigeria.
But they have a problem. They are not allowed to interfere on what you preach or you do in your church. It's just to gather together to meet with government or to face outside aggression. So Khan cannot tell you your doctrine is wrong. So that becomes a problem. In the Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria,
which is the umbrella body of Pentecostal churches in Nigeria, okay?
You don't have to register with them to function. You just register with Corporate Affairs Commission.
So even if you're Pentecostal, you're not obliged to be a member of that.
So you can't
choice.
They can't discipline you. Nobody can discipline you.
Yeah, but what if you're the member?
Then if they do that, you cut out of them and still continue. The Lord Jesus did not use the same method for healing. Like now, we talk about seed faith. We preach it in error. It was not Peter that came to Jesus and said, take my boat and multiply fish. They say what you give God is what God multiplied to you. No. He gave Jesus his boat. How many boats did Jesus give Peter? Peter didn't need more boat. So Peter met the need of Jesus. Jesus met the need of Peter. There was no bargaining. And nobody escaped to Jesus and said, take my boat and give me fish. No. Elijah and the woman of Zarephath. It was not the woman that said, I give you my last meal, you give me. Mm. No, it was the Lord that sent him to her. And Elijah did not go around all the other widows.
And said, this is nice.
And I have anointing to collect your last meal and then give you food.
That is so important. We turn an incident where God spoke something like a rhema to a situation. Uh-huh.
We turn it to a formula.
A formula which we now replicate everywhere.
The same thing with Naaman. Mm. It was not Naaman that said, I'll bathe in your river, you heal me. And all the lepers in Israel, Elisha did not go around.
Say, go to.
Say, I have anointing to send you to River Jordan. Yeah. So we've turned it. And we are making money with it. We are selling oil. Mm. There's anointing for consecration. But not one single place in the Bible where they gather every believer and anointed them. Mm. It's not in the Bible.
And yet we've created it.
We've created it.
The anointing services.
Now, firstborn redemption. Who told you that you are a firstborn, you have advantage? David was the lastborn. Mm. So, by our doctrine, David should be nothing. Mm. There's nothing like that. All of us are children of Jesus.
And we create these doctrines, we teach them, they become part of the system.
Yes.
So much that nobody stops and says, what does the Bible say?
Where did you get this? Mm. Like now, first fruit. Mm. Was it more than a basket of the fruits from your farm? Mm. It's basket food. But now you want to collect 1 month's salary and say it's first fruit. Hmm. No. It's not in the Bible.
Where did we get that even?
You know, we are looking for ways of getting money.
Hmm. So we keep inventing new things.
Yeah, because the church the members seem to be stingy. So we manipulate. And nobody can say, hey, that's an error.
That's
you see, we
Bible.
Ought to have a group in Nigeria that every day you preach, they should watch it. When you finish, they call you and say, come and defend what you preach.
The problem that came out of this adulterated gospel, and a big confusion in many people's minds today is that they don't see Christianity as a call to a new life.
Okay.
They see it as a call to an improved life.
Okay, and these are fundamentally different.
Different.
Christianity is a call to a new life, not a call to an improved life.
Yes, not that I have improved, you know. Let me give an example of somebody that was in sin, and he says, I'm getting better, the sin is diminishing.
It's diminishing, okay?
You understand? Or to say, well, I thank God, I'm better off now than what I used to be. Mm. Leadership. Now, those leaders must be godly men, God-fearing people, you know, and their style of leadership is first to recognize that they don't own you, you know, they recognize that the Lord himself owns you, and they see themselves as serving the Lord in helping you, you know, like Paul was saying that we are not lords over you.
Over you, okay?
He said, we are not lords
Lord over you.
You. So a church where the leadership or the leader is a lord, it's not a correct local church, you know. Paul emphasized that several times, that actually we are examples to you, so that what we want you to do is what we are doing. We are not demanding something from you that we are not giving to others. So when you see a church where one or some people are so arrogant, then and they don't expect you to behave the way they behave, they are so overbearing, and yet they know that you should not be overbearing, something is wrong.
It's unhealthy.
So that in the correct local church that you are looking for, their examples, they behave the way they want you to behave, and what they do to you is what they will expect you to do to them and to do to other people. So that is what we see in the New Testament, and that is one of the things you should look for when we are talking of joining a local church.
It's because, to a large extent, the average Christian, in quotes, today in our local assemblies does not read his Bible.
Okay. Bible illiteracy.
Yes, Bible illiteracy. Then the other aspect is that many of the people we've gathered in our local assemblies, are they born again?
Okay.
Many are not born again. In fact, if you talk to some of them and ask them, share with me your Christian experience, which is something we were used to in those days. They will only tell you that I started attending this church so and so day, and I've been accepted as a member.
And they will tell you one or two miracles that happened
to
them.
That's right.
The fact that they were healed of something or a miracle of financial.
Yes, a breakthrough.
And that showed them they are really
inside. That they have faith. But the few people, there are only very few people in those congregations, by the time you look at them and you interview them, that really know the essence of the gospel for themselves. They don't read, they don't study the Bible for themselves. And the Berean culture of going back to see what does the scripture says is not there.
And so when we talk of revival, usually in Africa, we are looking at large churches, large attendance. But when you dig deep, you find we aren't growing in terms of drinking fresh water from the wells of God. Let me read something to you. Romans 10 verse 2, Paul says, I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Now, talking about the Jews, they had a zeal for God. It's possible to have great zeal and great numbers of people who are zealous, but not according to the expectations of God. God's primary desire is that we grow in intimacy, that we drink fresh waters from the well of God.
I know I had a conversation with Paddy Togun for one where we stated at length, what does it look like to be a healthy church? And you might want to go and look at that episode. We'll probably have a lot of what he said in here. But this is a question that goes out to all of the different leaders. When I sit down with them to talk about the church, what does a healthy church look like?
Let me begin by saying the first thing, you know, the purpose of the church is to worship God. You know, Jesus said, God seeks those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. So as God is looking down on earth, He's seeking, looking for those that will worship Him correctly. So the first thing I would say, the first vital sign is, in this church, do they really worship God? Is correct Bible-based worship emphasized? So that's the first thing that we need to look for. Because when somebody is saved, when you become a Christian, the next thing is for you to recognize God in your life by worship. You know, you worship alone, but you also worship with other believers. And the worship I'm talking about is not the 30 minutes or 1 hour time of singing in the, what you call the service time. No, that's not,
not our worship period.
That is just the expression of this worship. You know, what I call worship actually is the central position that we put God in our midst as a church. The attitude, you know, the attitude of recognizing and respecting God in all that we do. So when we now come to that time we call the time of worship, we are just expressing, you know, what is in our heart, our attitude, you know, before God. So we look for a church where God is really worshipped and God alone is worshipped. You know, unlike in places today where people are worshipped.
People are worshipped, yes. Man worshipped.
And where God is worshipped, nobody else is worshipped. Where God is worshipped correctly, everybody is under.
They fade away.
Alone is high. So that is the first thing to look at for. In the Bible, the leadership of the local church is a plural kind of leadership, plurality leadership, not one person that is very strong, whether by spirituality or charisma or self-will, no, but plurality, where you know, plurality undermines the fact that we are all, let me say, we all have our weak points. You know, you recognize that you need other people to lead. So so that it is not one man's voice.
Mm.
There's a collection of people that are leading, and everybody recognizes that, you see, in this church, it is not one person that takes the decision. There are people, you know, that are together and they are leading the church.
So that's the biblical standard, that in every local church, it must be recognized and must be in practice. So it's not just a case of having some figurehead elders.
No. You see, that is it. Because if you look at the New Testament, they talk us, well, what we call to the pastor, actually, they call them elders.
Elders.
These are the elders that lead the church. You know, so not one person, not one strong man, but people that complement each other in leading the church. So that is another sign.
So unhealthy for one person to be leading.
One person.
Yeah.
It's a church that we're all together and we are all leading together. You should look for is the presence and the control of the Holy Spirit in that local church.
Okay, what does that mean?
Okay, you see, the Holy Spirit must be involved in the life of the believer individually and in the life of the church collectively. You know, the Bible says, for example, that the Holy Spirit is the sign of the presence of the Lord. It says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You know, and it says that God gave us the Spirit. In fact, let me read to us you know, what it says concerning the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. He said, after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So that when somebody hears the word of God, when he believes, as you believe, God does something with the Holy Spirit.
How do we now look out for this in a community?
I'll come to that. So I'm just talking now about the importance of the Holy Spirit in my personal life.
Okay.
So that I must experience him in my personal life. So the church I'm talking about is a church that recognizes him, you know. The church that will help me to walk with this Holy Spirit, to be conscious of him, is a church where collectively in the ministration we talk about him, we am taught about him, you understand, his work in my life is emphasized, and when we gather together we talk about him, we seek his face. You know, I hear the leadership say something like, well, we need to seek the face of the Lord in this matter. We believe the Holy Spirit is leading us in that in this matter. You know, in some churches They don't recognize even the presence and the interest of the Holy Spirit in the congregation. So I'm looking for a church where we recognize that the Holy Spirit has a mind that he wants to communicate to us, so that when there are decisions in the church, I can see the way the decisions are being taken. I can see that there's a deliberate effort to seek the Holy Spirit, to bring him into it. Do you remember the church in Antioch?
Yes, yes.
We were told that when they were worshiping God,
Acts the Holy Spirit 12.
Speaks. Yeah. So, when you are in a church and the Holy Spirit does not speak, he has never overruled. You know, a church that is held is a church where, let's say, the pastor will come and say, well, I thought we are going to do this thing, but after we are praying, the Holy Spirit is saying we'll do something different. That is a healthy church.
Now, it's not enough to point out the problem. And I think even what has been said there about what does a healthy church look like starts to point us to the solution. But the question is, if I find myself that our local church is not healthy, if we have lost it somewhere, if we are not moving in the right direction, how can I, as a pastor, as a church member, begin to direct our church, our movement, my home cell, or even myself towards greater health?
Have the courage to speak to the leadership of your church if you think that something is amiss. And if for any reason they don't take it graciously, that will be the sign that this is not a healthy church. But a church that will listen to you and correct you if you are wrong, or admit if you are right, that is a healthy church. So have the courage to approach. Don't just leave the church.
have the courage to go to the leadership and say, I think this thing is wrong. Their response will let you know whether you should stay or leave. In fact, don't think that because a church, there's some mistakes in the church, therefore that church is not good. You go and approach the leadership. That will confirm what you should do. God bless you.
When you say, oh, you look good, how are you? Oh, you look good, oh, you are going to heaven. No, that's not the message. Because it looks good, it's going to heaven. Oh, once you are born again, you can do anything, you make heaven. We are all children of God. We are not all children of God. And the word of God says we are made partakers of Christ. Hebrews 3:14. If we hold to the steadfast to the end, our confidence in Jesus. So when we let people know that they can do anything, once they say, I accept Jesus, just say after me, and you are born again. No! You can say it after me 50 times. If there's no repentance inside, that person is still going to hell. So when you give people assurance of salvation, Billy Graham say you can have enough religion to be immune against the real birth. You just have church physiology. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God will bless you. In next month, you just be buying cars and building houses. Hey! And whip up their emotion. And make them feel good. No. Something must feed their spirit. There must be spiritual exercise. That's how to build the men and women of God. But if we go there to entertain them, and if we crack too many jokes, there has to be transparency. We are not perfect. But when we are wrong, people should know that we are what? We are wrong. And we too, we should accept that we are wrong. So, the issue is this. When the Lord Jesus, they collected the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Can you imagine? If they just went to one person, he will eat everything and say, this is a small boy's breakfast. But what did they do? They gave it to the Lord Jesus. He blessed it. If we don't receive the message from God, and give the people. If we didn't receive it from God, it will feed nobody. But because Jesus blessed the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, as they take the loaf to one person, it costs small. That small becomes big in his hand. The loaf of bread became whole again. They move to the next one, it costs small. It becomes big in his hand. The thing became whole again. The fish, you cost small, it becomes big in your hand. Because Jesus blessed it. So when we give people sermons, messages that we got from God, it will carry God's blessing. But if we sat down and just cook anything and give out, it cannot carry impact. Now, every message should have an aim. If it's to sinners, conviction. If it's teaching, you want the Holy Ghost to give them understanding. So what you are giving, is it God that gave you? And you don't repeat the same message all the time. The people there are different. The Holy Ghost knows those who are there. So allow him to what? To walk give you the message. Then you know you have gotten a touch with heaven. You go there, heaven will take over.
My life, okay, my message must meet up with the standard of the Bible. The Bible must not be watered down to meet up with my lifestyle. So I will teach the truth, even if I personally am not able to be able to meet up with the truth 100%. Because ministers are not perfect. For some who are a bit more matured, you read something, maybe your GO or a prophet says, and maybe your own understanding of the scripture, you are not sure. The internet is here today. Find out what has anybody or any other leader said that's contrary to what you've just heard.
And then recite the
scripture. And then research the scripture yourself. Compare the two and then go back to the scripture that, okay, between these two viewpoints,
what is the truth?
And what I understand from the scripture, what's the truth?
Know the area that God called you. If you are a teacher, be loyal to God, teach the correct thing. And depend on the Holy Spirit to add his power to it. If you are an evangelist, stay on your side and be loyal to God, because you are going to give account. And we that are church members, let's pray for our ministers that they will be loyal to God. But whatever they teach us, we go back to the Bible to check if it is so. Because we still give account of our own lives.
We're not called to follow men, but we're called to follow Christ. Jesus. Thank you so much, Evangelist Matthew Ojaye.
Wow, I trust that you would have been challenged, stretched, encouraged by these various wise inputs. But let it not stop here. I want to encourage you, don't point finger, don't look at the next man or look at the next church and say they need to sort themselves out. I think this message and the discussions we've had today should be like a mirror. Like the word of God is supposed to always be a mirror for me, for us, for your local church, for you as a pastor, for you as an individual believer. Or maybe you're not born again and this is God calling you that you need to get right with the Lord. No matter your state, what we share today should start with you. Because we normally say this in those days. We say, Lord, bring revival and let it start with me. I trust that you've been blessed this week. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back with you, same station, same time next week. Cheers.
Thank you for joining us today on Let's Talk. Let's continue the conversation via WhatsApp on 079-473-7208. You can also follow us on Facebook by searching Let's Talk and on Twitter using hashtag ChimTalk. We trust that you'll tune in next week at the same time. Take care and God bless.